Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, it's Deacon Thomas Farr, and you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome you back. Today is Thursday, January the 11th, 2018. We pray all is well with you and your family. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to talk about a couple things tonight. We're going to touch upon Big Five, the Big Five pillars in a man's life, in a godly man. And we're going to talk about that. We have announcements of upcoming events. But first, we're going to open with scripture and in a prayer, and then get right into our conversation tonight. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, you can call in at 646-668-2636. You press 1 on your keypad. You can join us in the conversation, give your insights, opinions, or even ask a question. Amen? Amen. So tonight we're going to be reading from James, the book of James, and we're going to reach out, the book of James, chapter number 5, starting at verse number 7. And the word of God says, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient, establishing your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." My brethren, verse number 8. "My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience." Father God, we say today, God, thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for your coming of your Son, O God. Father, thank you, God, for the fruit of the Spirit, O God, that has patience and perseverance, O God. That we are long-suffering, O God. That we, O God, know, we are waiting patiently for your return. We know that you are in control, God. You're a sovereign God. That your Son is returning, O God. And this is the hope of our salvation today, Lord God. To stand and see his returning, O God. So, Father, we say thank you today, God. It is within us through the power of your Holy Spirit, God. Let us, O God, continue to do the work you called us to do. Let us share the gospel. Let us live out the gospel, God. Let us walk worthy for your coming. This is our prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Amen, amen. Well, as you know, we've been here at Issues Christian Men's Talk. We've touched on a lot of things. We've been talking about the Lordship of Christ. And we've been talking on some of the key what we call the five big rocks of a godly man, those foundational rocks, those things that our faith and our character integrity is built on, these principles of God that every man should have in his life and be. And this is how we measure ourselves against the word of God and what we should be in our lives. Amen. So the big five that we're going to talk about tonight is, well, let me give me a review. Because I got this from a blog posting by the manhoodjourney.org, their blog series, and it talks about the big five. The first one is the godly man trusts God. The godly man knows his word. The godly man prays fervently. The godly man builds relationships. And number five, the godly man serves others. And tonight we're going to touch on the godly man builds relationships. And we're going to discuss that a little bit. I'll share some insights with you and also give you a word of encouragement. Again, what we do here at Issues Christian Men's Talk is we bring to the forefront discussion and encouragement for the brothers in the body of Christ, for those men, oh God, as husbands and fathers that are just striving to walk worthy for you, to live out the lives we're called to do, be leaders in the home, leaders in the church, leaders in our community. And we just want to encourage you. It's not that I myself do not pretend to have overcome and arrived, but yet I am still striving. And I just bring this program and these discussions to you to be able to encourage you in your walk. No matter where you are in it, if you were just a new believer, a new convert, a young disciple, if you've been saved 30 years, 45 years, 15 years, or 15 minutes, knowing that this is the call of God for all men's lives and where we are striving to be, and the importance of men's ministry, the importance of men coming together with a common faith and common belief system to encourage one another in that walk until Christ is coming. Amen. Well, tonight, again, we're going to be talking about a godly man builds relationships and the importance of having relationships with other men. You know, we look at peer pressure. We use peer pressure a lot. We talk about it with young people, and we talk about it in the communities and how people respond when they're in a group and the peer pressure. But there's a good part of peer pressure. There's a part where we encourage one another. You know, sometimes peer pressure could be a good thing. Because if you have godly men around you, responsible men around you, that's going to hold you accountable, men of integrity, men of godly character, it's going to help you to get to that place. You know, because even in our conversion, even in our discipleship, we need to be around men who are or striving to grow that seed of the gospel, that seed of righteousness that's been planted in us through God and through His Holy Spirit, to encourage it to grow, to take root in our lives, that we have become the man that God has called us to be and be used by Him. We're bringing our talents, our treasures, and our time unto God, and sometimes we need encouragement to do that with one to another. So I'm going to start with our scripture that I know we're all familiar with. We've heard it at different times in our lives and different times in this Christian walk. But it is the real true foundation of what it means to be surrounding yourself with like-minded men. It's going to be Proverbs 27 and 17. And the word says, iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And that's important, that iron sharpening, that being around someone who's going to sharpen your countenance, who's going to lift you up, encourage you. It's a lot to it. It makes us better. It makes us see our blind spots. Having people in our lives who are going to speak into our lives and encourage us and strengthen us, even in the midst of what's going on. We may not get it all right. We may not know the answer. We may be struggling with just our belief. We're struggling with trying to make the right choices. But who are those men that we surround ourselves and that we allow to speak into our lives, to give us accountability and courage? Who are those men who call us when we don't make a Bible study, we don't make a service, we're missing from the church gathering, and they call and see where we are and see what happened, see if we need anything. Are we building those kind of relationships? And that's what we talk about, that a godly man on purpose builds godly relationships, comes outside of his zone. You know, a lot of brothers talk about, well, you know, I'm not that friendly and I can't make friends, but that's something we have to be on purpose about because we need it. We have to understand that we need it. We do it everywhere else in our lives, in school, at work. You know, we connect with other people at work. How many of us, we go to work and we just don't have nothing to do with the people we work with? We go to school. No one walks around the school campus from elementary to high school to college. No one walks around the campus and is not connected and gets to know anyone. But in the body of Christ, are we doing that? Are we building those relationships? Are we getting past the superficial? Are we trying to be transparent? Are we trying to really build real relationships and friendships with those godly men around us, those men in the church, those men that we worship with, that we say we believe, and we say that we want to live a righteous life that will hold us accountable? You know, because I think that's important. And as men, you know, even coming from not being raised in the church, if you come into the church, you know, just, you know, at 36, 25, I like to say that we have a whole life before we came to Christ. But yet, you know, we have people that we trusted in our life that may be unsaved, unbelievers. But yet, when we become a believer, Do we open ourselves up to be able to build relationships with them? And also, with those in that we knew before we were saved, does that relationship with them change once we become a believer? Because once we have a new mindset, we think a new way, we live a certain way, but yet, you know, a lot of men, you know, we struggle. Well, I won't say men. I say folk who come to Christ and they tend to cut a bunch of people off, but now they're at the point where they have no unsaved friends, unbelieving friends. But again, that's not what we're called to do. And, you know, Jesus told believers in Peter in Luke 22, Jesus told Peter, once you're converted, go back and get your brethren. And that's what some of us are called to do also. We're called to, once we get our lives with Christ and our faith is secure and we're rooted and grounded in the understanding and knowledge of his word, we go back to those that have known us before and preach the gospel to them. Because the most important thing we have to remember as men, as individuals, there's someone out there whose lives will not be changed. They will not hear the gospel. They will not be converted unless they hear it from us. And not from my pastor, not from the, you know, all of the most famous or well-known preachers. They may never hear the gospel from them and understand it. But we can speak a word into them, and that will be the word that they need to hear that will convert their souls, that they won't be destined for hell. And then some of it is we have to have a living testimony that that what God can do in transforming our lives, because they knew us before, and yet now they see how we live now and what we think and what we say. And then sometimes when we talk about building relationships, because that's sometimes the most important thing is, you know, we have friends, you know, and even in this life, you know, good friends seem to be a short supply today. A lot of us don't have people, men in our lives that we can call friends, good friends. You know, when we were young, we was in high school, we had our guys that we hung out with, and we were together 4 years in high school, 4 years in college, or we built those bonds and connections for teams and sports and work, and we have common, common interests when it comes to sports. But we're living in a time now where men, they find it hard to develop these close relationships, especially older men. You know, sometimes it seems like the older we get, the harder it is for us to be honest, transparent, and open with other men and what we're going through. Because we all of us at some point or some level put up a facade and put up a masquerade of who we really are and what we're really going through, because we have really trust issues. Because, you know, as young boys, we could run in the playground and out and go out, and we can get with a group of guys and just start bonding, start playing, you know, sports and pickup games and just playing in the park. It was easy when we were kids, but sometimes as we become adults, it tends to seem like it's harder and harder. Because I think the real problem is it's a pride issue. We see other men as our competition. We're competitors. We're competing for the same job, same position, same whatever. We same influence. We all want to be influential. We all want to be the alpha, the leader of the pack, you know, and no one wants to be a follower, and, you know, all these things that come against us from building real open and pure and honest relationships. We're reluctant to be close because, you know, again, if we see someone as our competitor, we're not going to be vulnerable. We're not going to be truthful. We're always going to put our best foot forward and keep those things and those faults that we know that we have and try and keep those covered up because we don't want to be vulnerable. And then some of us, it's just our pride. It's just a simple sin of pride. Pride can hinder a great many relationships, all the way from, we're talking about men's relationships as friends, or even in our marriages, even with our children. If we have a prideful heart, you know, it's hard for us to be honest and open with folk and with those around us. So the Bible teaches about friends. It teaches about us being, we're being companions. I think that's the word we're going to use, companions. Friends, we co-laborers in Christ. We open to each other. We're open to hear and to build those friendships. You know, it takes two sometimes that we can both talk about to share common experiences. I want to go real quick to Ecclesiastes chapter 4 because that comes to my memory here. Let me find it real quick here. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 4, starting at verse number 9. And the word of God says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two tie together, then they have heat, but now how can one be warmed alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and the threefold cord will not quickly be broken. And you know that scripture reminds me of us bonding together in our times of stress, in our times of struggle in this Christian walk, because we're called to live a walk worthy for our call in Christ. Because remember, Christ died for us all. His shed blood and broken body was to reconcile us back to God, to live life as righteous, to be seen righteous before God the Father, and live a walk and be salt and light in this world. And how do we do that, even in the midst of our struggles and battles and our weaknesses, that we need each other to encourage each other, to be able to press on and continue to be the men of God we called us to be. Our families are looking for it. Our wives are looking for us to lead in the home in a godly manner. Our children are looking for us to be able to speak and mentor and disciple them in all stages of their life. You know, here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, we talk about fatherhood is a lifetime call. We have different seasons, but it's a lifetime call. And how do we do that in relationships if we're not really being open, honest, and being tied and connected with someone? Because as I speak tonight, I have a son, children, and grandchildren. But do I have the wisdom, and am I open enough to be able to share with a brother who's just got a newborn, has an elementary school, a high schooler, to encourage them through that season or whatever time they're going through when the challenges of father have come? Or even in marriages. I've been married over 30 years. I've known other brothers who've been married and been with their spouses 30, 40, 25 years. Are we taking the opportunity to speak into the lives of younger couples who are struggling in the midst? You know, that first 10 years, you know, it's a whole lot of things that can go up and down in those 10 years. There can be challenges to marriages because, you know, they just don't know. They just don't know. They forget the stresses of life, the stresses that their life gets to them. But now are we in a place that we're ministering to these young couples, to these men, to the husbands and wives that we know who may be struggling? That 7-year mark, that 8-year mark where, for some reason, that seems like the season and time when the marriages are stressed out the most, when they're still trying to figure each other out and the challenges come forth and where they need to be able to press and be encouraged. And are we doing that as a body? As the body? I don't say as a pastor, as an elder, as, you know, a title or responsibility that we have in the church, but are we seeking couples? Are we building relationships with new couples? We as men, are we reaching to build relationships with young fathers and young husbands who are new to marriage? And I mean not necessarily age, but even, you know, because you can have someone who's 40 years old and they've been married 5 years, and the struggles are real. Because they're bringing two separate lives together, and that becoming one flesh can be a challenge. But are we being encouragement? Just because they're older, but we have more time in the marriage relationship, in a godly marriage relationship. And even with that, we have to check ourselves and what is our relationship with our wife and with our spouse, and is it something we can be a living example, a living testimony to what God can do in marriage? But is our marriage in a place where we want somebody to emulate? You know, Paul spoke about follow me as I follow Christ. So where are our relationships that we can be an example and speak life into these marriages? So that's what we're talking about tonight here. And I wanted to bring that out in Ecclesiastics because we have to come alongside and have some good friends, you know, and companions. And what are we doing? Are we putting into, you know, what are we building? What are we really building? You know, anybody who does out there who does instruction, home improvement, or any projects, if you were doing some kind of construction project or something, one more set of hands can help a project go a lot easier. If you're building a deck, painting a house, or whatever it is, working side by side with another brother can build that relationship. It also stands in the spiritual realm, having someone alongside you as we walk through this, as we do this Christian walk, as we conform our lives to Christ, as we follow Christ. How great it is for us to have someone alongside us, to stand beside us as we walk through it, as someone we can lean on and touch and reach out for. or even for some of us who are at a certain point in our lives, are we ministering and helping someone else come along? You know, who are we discipling? That's one of the things where we encourage men's ministry so greatly and powerfully, because men in the church, we need one another. Sometimes we need a brother to come alongside, something a man can't get from his wife or from his mother or from whatever. We need godly men to be in the lives of godly men. While most men like to think that they can make it alone, we really can't. We all need someone to lighten our loads, to help that burden. The burden is much, much easier to lift because I have two or three brothers. You know, when we work out in the gym, we have spotters there for a reason. It's fine that I can bench press 350, but isn't it great to have a spotter there that can take the burden off when it gets too heavy or when it's too much? When I'm called to do a thing and the work and I need someone who's going to lighten the load, who can help me out, come alongside, speak words of encouragement. And then when we talk about lightening our load and help us, you know, to get to, even when we back up, even when we stumble, you know, it's someone who's spotting our lives spiritually. Who's holding us accountable into consistent prayer, consistent Bible study? Who are we praying for? Who encourages us? Who do we reach out to? Do we have a network of brothers? You know, if I'm going through something, I have some brothers I can call and they'll pray for me and help me, ready to serve, to come, that I know that will come and just come alongside and help me. You know, pastor a long time ago told me, you know, the example of someone being there for you is, if you had a flat tire in the middle of the night, you could make one phone call, who would you call and know that they're on their way? You went after, you're not looking, you're not concerned, you're not worried about it anymore. You gave them a call, you got them on the phone, and you know they're on the way. Who is in your life that can do that for you in the spiritual realm and even in the temporal realm? You know, we have cell phones now, and we have reaching out on Facebook and all these things. But, you know, who's the brother you know you can call and he's going to pick, and you're going to get him on the phone? You're not going to get his voicemail. You know, because that's where I think it really is. And when that comes to the spiritual and the temporal, who are the men in our lives that we know we can call on and they will drop what they're doing and come to help you? So this is what we're thinking about tonight. This is what we're discussing. This is, I want to stir up in your spirit where you are. Who are the men in your life, and are you that man? Are you truly a brother? Are you a real brother, or are you a fake brother, imitation brother, a superficial brother? Are you really a brother? Are you really a real encourager, a real companion? Are you really committed to the life of another man, and are you rock solid? Can that brother depend on you? That's the other thing we have to look at. It's not so much what we can do for others, but what are we willing to do for others? So, because it's a two-way street when we talk about friendship and talk about commitment one to another. Because, you know, even if you have to grow into it, it's something that we have, it's important that we have other men. Amen. Friends often offer warmth and encouragement and enthusiastic. Sometimes we need brothers to show us the application of what it means to be a husband, to be a father. You know, we do that. We put those titles out there, but those titles have great meaning and great significance. And not everyone has been trained, taught, or knows what that means or what it looks like, especially when it comes to a godly perspective. There might be a perspective you have as being a husband and father that you might have picked up from the men in your bloodline, from your father, your uncles, or whatever. Or you might have never had an example of what a father and husband looks like. So are we being that supporter? Are we being that person to come through and help them face these situations and circumstances that threaten them? The enemy is going to use a lot of things to discourage men when it comes to fatherhood, when it comes to marriage. And who are we, and what are we going to do to help fight it off, to not let the enemy speak into their lives, not let the enemy get a foothold that can destroy marriages with divorce and separation, or even a marriage that people are together, but they just not getting along. You know, it's an old saying, I'm in love with a woman I can't stand, but yet their marriage is not what God called it to be. They may have longevity, they may be together, but the quality of the marriage is low. You know, but they're still together. But who are we? Are we able to show and pray for them and be able to sow into their lives to encourage them and strengthen their marriage? And are we open and vulnerable? Are we vulnerable to folk? When we're going through struggles, When the last time you had an issue and you shared an issue with your spouse and shared it with someone who could give you godly counsel, or someone who just let you vent and get it off your chest, and they would come to you with a word of God, not their opinion, not what they would do, but what the word of God says that you should do as a husband, and direct you to the word, because you have to be careful too, because folk will give you their opinions and what they should do. You know, you can't trust that, because those people will not do the thing. They'll tell you to do a lot of stuff they would never do in their life, but they think they want to give you some wisdom and what you should do. And what you should do is align up with the word of God. That's how you measure on the value of the people in your life, through the opinions and advice they give you, line up with the word of God. So we just wanted to consider that, you know, a couple of the things that we do when we're looking for brothers in our lives that will strengthen us and be able to speak about it, you know. That we first, that we have someone that we can, that can help us to reap and help us get a job done, to help build us up and strengthen us, that'll come alongside to lift the burden from us and help us with the burdens that we're called to carry. Friends, that we have friends that will support one another. Again, do we have someone who's coming along to support our vision, support our progress, support our life to get us to a place where God can use us? They see what God has put in us, and then they support the thing that God, to help grow that thing, what God is in us. You know, the third thing, who do we have speaking into our lives that speaks into our relationship, that encourage us? When things threaten, we have situations and circumstances who come alongside to encourage us. Even in our vulnerability, when we don't know what to do and how to do it, someone is going to speak life. And fourthly, do we have someone who comes along to strengthen us, to bear the burdens, to bear the challenges, to be able to overcome and be able to stand in the midst of it all? Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Fall. We're here live every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8 p.m. And for 2018, we are going live every Saturday morning at 9 a.m., so we encourage you to join us. You can call. You can also listen to the archive of our previous shows by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. And you can call in live at 646-668-2636. That's every Monday at 8, every Thursday at 8, and every Saturday at 9 a.m. And it's 8 p.m. on Mondays, 8 p.m. on Thursdays, and 9 a.m. on Saturdays. You can also reach out to us at Issues Christian Men's Talk. We have a Facebook page. You can go there live. You can inbox us there. You can link up there. We post devotionals. We post upcoming men's events, words of encouragement, scripture reading for study, pray, and apply. And also on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk. We have a link there. You can follow us on Twitter. We also post encouragement there. And one thing I wanted to take about our daily emails and texts we send out, when we say about study, pray, and apply, you know, a while back, it was in discussion at a men's group, and we talked about men to stop reading their Bibles. Because reading our Bibles is one thing, the difference between reading our Bibles and studying our Bibles. And we think we need to, as men of God, get to the place where we're taking time and we're studying our Bible daily. Because we can read through the Bible. You can say you read through the Bible. But did you really have knowledge and understanding? And then the most biggest part is to pray that the Holy Spirit will give you insight and illumination and understanding of the Word. And then the next part is do application. Do we study the Word? Do we pray that the Holy Spirit will guide us? And then we have now the application. How do we apply that Word? How do we apply what we just read, what we just studied? And I think that is the basis where we need to start to come around to be more as disciples of Christ and being disciples of his word. And God's greatest revelation he's given anyone when it comes to knowing his will, his purpose and plan is through his word. All 66 books of the Bibles, to reach out, to understand, to see what God is saying and speaking. And it's through his word, through the true understanding and study of his word, we can get to that place and help us grow and mature, that we as men of God can always take our position in the leaders in the home, in the church, and in the community. Amen? Amen. Well, we're going to continue on tonight. Tonight we're talking about the five big rocks. the five big rocks of a godly man. And again, this is something that I read from a blog post from the manhoodjourney.org. They have a blog page there, and this is one of their blogs that I'm reading from that they shared back a couple earlier this year, or last year, matter of fact. I think it was last year, and we're discussing that tonight. And I just want to share that importance of having and what we need strong and godly relationships and friendships in our lives. Amen. So next we're going to talk a little bit about, and continuing, I'm going to go to Hebrews. We'll go to Hebrews chapter number 3 real quick. And I want to share what it says about why, about us having and building in relationships. Important that we as men of God have relationships, that we're on purpose building. We are on purpose trying to be the men of God and building relations with godly men, encourage us and that will encourage us, and also those godly men that we can encourage, that we can help out, that we can be able to speak into the lives of people. Because if this walk is not something, we are not long range of Christians. We are not meant to be alone. We're meant to be in fellowship. The Greek word is koinonia, and that true fellowship. And I know the church, for my church folk out there, we talk about fellowship. We're always connected with a meal, but sometimes it's more than that. That's a good place to start. But who are we truly in koinonia with? Are we in fellowship? Who knows who we are, what we're going through in a daily basis? Who knows our struggles, our shortcomings? And yet they mourn with us, and then also they celebrate our achievements. Because that's another thing. Do we celebrate our brothers when they achieve successes, when they get breakthroughs, when they get deliverance, when they get promotions? Are we in a place where we enjoy and appreciate what God is doing in another man's life? Even in the midst of our struggle, we may be at one point, we're getting laid off, and then our brother is getting a promotion. Can we still celebrate with him? Can we still be his brother and be happy for him, yet in the midst of our circumstance and situation? And these are the tests of a godly man, where our heart and where our character is. Amen. Let me go to Hebrews chapter number 3, and I'm going to go at verse number, Hebrews chapter 3, and we're going to go to verse number 12. Number 12, Hebrews 3, 12. And the word of God says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." And that scripture there, do we look out for our brothers, our challenges of our brothers, from our brother, our new convert brothers, to our seniors, to those who we are disciple with, who are new converts? Are we individually and corporately accountable? Do we take responsibility to encourage our brothers no matter what they're going through? It could be drug addiction, it could be divorce, alcoholism, it could be lust, pornography. Are we in a place where we're in a relationship with a brother where we're going to take responsibility for their deliverance? That we're praying for them? And even the most of all, are we going to be hold them accountable? Do we reach out? Are we playing with them? Do we ask how a brother's doing and truly want to know how he's doing? We know his struggles. And then for us, even individually, are we open enough to let our brothers know what we are struggling with? If I'm struggling with pornography, if I'm struggling with lust, I'm struggling with womanizing. Who are the men in my life who know what my struggles are, and yet are praying for me, and yet will hold me accountable to the thing? Because for all of us who go through things, there's triggers, there's seasons, there's things that set us off, that tweak us to get to back to where we were, where we don't want to be, but yet we have those triggers and put us in that circumstance and bring back to our remembrance, and will take us off course. But are we in prayer for our brothers in continuous daily prayer? Knowingly and unknowingly, are we praying for our brothers? You know, I send out an email, a text, you know, regularly to pray, ask men to pray for three men in their lives, for three of their brothers, to pray for the unbeliever that you work with every day or that you see every day who lives in your neighborhood, that you may not be a believer or maybe not be a convert yet, but are we praying for them? That the seed we planted, that's something I can say, opportunity given to me that I can speak the gospel to them to encourage them. And are we preparing ourselves to be able to speak a gospel word, not quote a scripture, but be able to relate a principle, to be able to be friendly, to be able to say, you know, let me pray for you, let me pray with you. Again, this is about individually, are we accountable and taking responsibility to encourage one another? And I think that's one of the things. And then as corporately, we have to be able to talk about, you know, what men's ministry is about and why are we ministering to men? When we come together corporately. Is our men's ministry foundational based to be edifying the body and to glorify God? It's as simple as that. And what are we teaching our men? Are we setting up our men's ministry? Is it a fellowship? There's a balance between entertaining and just hanging out. Or are we on purpose to set a goal to be able to grow men, to encourage men, to make men better husbands and fathers, make them get men of God? Is our relationships encouraging? It goes back to the iron sharpening iron. You know, because we can do a lot of things and say we had a good time, but did anybody get delivered? Did anybody, you know, are they better for it? Let me say it like that. Is their faith strengthened by the men's ministry? Is that what we're doing when we talk about our men's ministry, even in the gathering and with those around us? You know, again, are we individually and corporately taking responsibility to encourage one another on purpose that their faith might grow? Because I think that's the greatest thing we're called in the church is to spread the gospel and to grow and disciple folk. Making disciples of all nations, one of Jesus' commandments. And are we that individually and corporately? Is that what we're doing? Amen? Amen. So we listen to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and we're going to talk about daily encouragement. It talks about daily in that verse. In the passage, it says, are we, as men today, we need to foster positive relationships with one another. We have to go beyond talking about business, talking about sports, talking about, you know, the stuff that's going on in the world. You know, we come together and want to talk politics and what's going on with the president and who's going on with the mayor and the violence and all the things that's going on. But yet, do we talk about the personal struggles, the joys of other men, what men are going through individually? I mean, it's good to talk about generalization of terms and the culture, and we want to say what we can do, but what are we truly doing to change the hearts and minds of men? To encourage us, to make our experience of what's going on personal. Do we have such a person in our life? We ask God that he will show you who that man is that you can build a relationship, a true relationship with, that's going to speak into your life. And are you seeking to build a relationship with someone that you can encourage them through? Because talking in broad terms and broad, you know, what's going on in the culture, but let's talk about what's going on in each of our individual lives. That's where relationships are built. We can be part of political parties. We can be part of denominations. We can be part of a lot of things. But are we in that small daily encouragement, a small circle? What we call, I call here, the Issues Christian Men's Talk, our circle of influence, because we all have one. And are we part of one? Some of us may be in it, but it may not be a true circle of influence because, again, we're not being transparent, we're not being honest. And the men in that circle, we call that gathering, really know nothing about us and where we're tempted and what we're struggling with. So it's important that we develop and maintain these relationships. And I'll say this, too, because, you know, relationships can go for seasons, for a time, for a season. You'll put together, your lives will intersect. Because remember, God is a sovereign God. God knew us from the foundation of the world. He knew the men would be in our life. There was men and people in our lives 10 years ago, 5 years ago, that are not in our lives now. And then there's also men that will be in our life 5 years from now, 10 years from now, who we don't even know. But yet our lives will intersect because it's God's plan for a reason and for a season for that to happen. But now, again, are we open to build these relationships? And know that for different reasons, relationships will change, grow. Some will grow for the better, or some will grow for a season. Because you could have a relationship with a brother that you haven't talked to in years, but yet when the time and purpose raises itself up, you'll be back in contact with that brother and be able to help with something. It could be a ministry you're working on. It could be a time of stress. It could be a personal issue, and that brother coming, God will put that brother back in your life again because he knows what he can speak into you that will encourage you to keep moving forward. where you won't get stuck in whatever for a failing or shortcoming or success. Good, but again, where are we open to those relationships? And is it important that we're seeking to continue to build those relationships? Amen. And one thing further I want to touch on upon before we move forward here. Just a reminder, first, let me give my commercial break here. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. And tonight we're talking about the big five. We're talking about number four, godly man builds relationships. And I'll give a quick plug for our upcoming marriage retreat from Jesus Lives Ministry of Fellowship. It's having their fourth annual marriage retreat. It's going to be overnight at Chantilly, Virginia. I'm going to be staying at the Staybridge Suites near the Dulles Airport, Chantilly, Virginia, April 27th to the 29th. The cost is going to be $325 per couple, includes the lodging and meals and study materials. We're requesting a $100 non-refundable deposit by January the 22nd, so you have exactly 11 days. You can call the church at 443-784-8826. That's 443-784-8826. And that's April 27th, 28th, and 29th in Chantilly, Virginia. Marriage retreat. The keys, and the theme is going to be the keys to successful biblical marriage. Amen? So we encourage you to reach out to us and be part of that. Amen? And again, this is Deacon Farr, Issues Christian Men's Talk. We are live every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8 p.m., and every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. This is our 2018 schedule. We're going to be giving you guests, bringing those who speak wisdom. We're going to bring you words of encouragement. So we encourage you to join us and be part of it. You can also reach us at Issues Christian Men's Talk on our Facebook page, Twitter at Issues Men's Talk on Twitter. Follow us there. Follow us on the Facebook page, reach out to us, inbox us, and we encourage you, invite you to come and join us. Tonight we have a couple of brothers on the line. You called in at 646-668-2636 if you want to share some insights, ask a question, or have something you want to bring to the table. I encourage you to press 1 on your keypad. And also I do want to thank you for joining me tonight and being part of the program and listening in. And I encourage you to continue. We're going to close with one more scripture here. We're getting down to the end here, but I want to touch on one more topic when we're talking about godly men and building relationships and the importance of having godly men in our lives and around us. And being a godly friend, a committed friend, a man who's sowing into other people's lives on purpose, to seeking to build relationships, to be able to encourage one another so that we might not fall, and we might not, and even if we fall, we're there to encourage our brother. I'm going to go to James chapter number 5. James chapter number 5, I'm going to read verse number 16. And this is one of the things why we need each other in our lives. As true friends, true companions, true co-laborers in Christ that will help us in this walk, that we might walk worthy to the call and profession of our faith. Verse 16 says in John 5, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The affectionate, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So I just want to encourage you today, brothers, men, pray for your brother. Confess to your brother. Have someone in your life. You know, when we say confess one to another, I'm not talking like the Catholic Church puts it out there, you confess to a priest. But you are open, honest, and transparent with a man, with a godly man in your life. A man that will pray for you and pray with you. Because the affectionate prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Are you praying for the men in your life? Are you praying for the men in your church? Are you praying for those men that you know, the godly men around you that you labor with, that you're part of, your men's ministry? You know, those in your local community. Are you praying for your pastors, for the leaders in your church, your deacons, your elders, all those who are doing the laboring to keep the body of Christ going, behind the scenes, the unseen lay brothers? Are we praying for those men? So it's important. We have and we're open and honest. And one of the things when we talk about confessing our faults, who are you honest and open with in your life? Who is that man? For some, it may be your pastor. For some, it may be your elder, your deacon. For some, it may be you know you built a friendship and relationship within the body of Christ with someone. That's you need to have. We all need to have someone that we can be truly honest and open with, who knows our struggles, who knows the challenges we're going through, that we can go to and that they pray for us, and we can that we're not carrying secrets and burdens around. I think that's the biggest thing. As men, we let secrets and things build up. We keep it inside. We don't do what we're supposed to do, and no one ever knows. Because there's nothing worse than a man who has two lives. He has a dual identity. He lives one. He has two lives. He has a righteous life and an unrighteous life, and yet they're existing in the same body and the same mind. Because they think one way, they have where they can act one way in one circumstance and switch to another circumstance. And as men of God, we're deceiving ourselves when we do that, and the enemy wins. I'll leave it as simple as that. But are we the same man, no matter our circumstance, no matter who we're around? Are we that same godly man we profess to be? And I pray today that you would rebuke and turn away and repent and line your life up with the Word of God. Seek the Word of God. Seek His righteousness and seek His face in all things that you still do and say. So, gentlemen, I just want to thank you tonight for joining me, for being part of the program. Again, thank you for those brothers who called in. If you was listening online, I thank you for listening. And again, if you go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr and you click on the follow button, you'll get invites and updates when we broadcast it live. Also, you can go there, look at our archive of past shows. We're going on 3 years. We're starting our third year tonight, this week, this year. And we have a lot of archive shows with a lot of good interviews and a lot of good teachings and discussions. So we encourage you to go there and check those out. Again, I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Thank you for joining me tonight, and God bless.